scripture reading this morning is from Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 27 to 30, and verse 40 and 43. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The singers were also brought together from region around Jerusalem, from villages of Netophatis, from Beth Gilgal, and from the area of Geba and Asmaveth, for the singers had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. When the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. Verse 40. The two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God. So did I, together with half of the officials. Verse 43. And on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had gave them great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. This is the word of the Lord.
There it is, maybe. Got it? God gave me a loud voice when I was able to use it before they had all this fancy stuff out in the land of India, because I had to get myself heard above all the 1,000 pigs that my dad had, and that takes a lot of volume, especially when they're hungry. Yeah, So the song of how we are not worthy, and truly that is just reminded me of that it's only God's grace. And I've been so blessed just to be with you as a congregation and to see how God has just blessed us together. And I know that I'm already feeling a bit sad because at the end of April I end my term here. And I'll be going on not a 10,000-kilometer trip, but a 12,000-kilometer trip across Canada and back. So you can pray for that trip. Pray that my wife will survive. We just celebrated this week our 47th anniversary of marriage, and my wife. And somebody said to me that your wife deserves a medal. And I think so. I think very much that's true. And so we are concluding our time this morning in Nehemiah. And I love this. I've been singing it all week long to myself, of course, because nobody else likes my music. But I've been singing especially the last song that we're going to conclude with this morning. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Was a song that Billy Graham asked to be sung at his funeral. It was the first song a couple of weeks ago. So we're still in Nehemiah, and we'd just like to do a little summary this morning of Nehemiah. So you have your Bible there, or you can look on the PowerPoints this morning on Nehemiah chapter 12. I think this is a great way to conclude. Smiling, singing saints. So just this morning, this is a little song that expresses a prayer, even as we go into this message. Open my eyes that I might see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Open my ears, Lord, that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. Open my heart, open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Lord, this morning, open our eyes, open our ears, open our heart to all that you want for us, that none of us will go from here without knowing you in a deeper way and wanting to follow you in a deeper way. And so, Lord, we're not here just to be challenged. We're here, Lord, to hear your voice, to know your presence, as even these songs have led us into the very presence of God. We worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So wanted this morning, smiling, singing saints. What's the summary of Nehemiah? Everything you need to you need in serving God successfully is found in this book and in the life and actions of Nehemiah. Chapter 1, the first slide, I believe. Knowing the situation, that was what Nehemiah needed to know, what was going on. There was great trouble. The wall was broken down. The gates were burnt with fire. And so Nehemiah in chapter 1, the lesson he learns there is to be alert, to pray, to ask questions, to find out what's going on, to get a vision of who God is and his plan for his people and what he wants us to do. And of course, some of you know my passion of international students. And so God, some of you have heard and seen how God has brought students even to VCAC. I give God all the glory for that. Started with the Alpha program last year in September, and a number of students found Jesus. I'm always carrying cards in my pocket. They got them there in the back. One side's Chinese, one side's English. And so yesterday I had four students from Taiwan that I took to the border to see the American-Canadian border, Peace Arch Park. And I had never met them before till this week. And they don't go to church normally, but they all got invitations for that dinner. I say it's a great food place to get a good dinner. They have to cook for themselves. They don't like their own cooking sometimes. And when they hear there's going to be a good dinner, I think some of them will be there. Praise the Lord. So let's pray for God to bring people to the Alpha. So be alert. Pray. Get a vision of who God is and what his plan is for his people. Chapter 2 is taking steps of faith that Nehemiah took and risking to extend God's kingdom. He was willing to leave his comfort zone. He was willing to leave the palace and go a great distance to help his people. Chapter 3, everyone got involved in the service of the Lord. Not just Nehemiah, he couldn't do this by himself. But he got everybody involved in repairing that wall and constructing that wall again. And chapter 4, there was intense opposition that Nehemiah faced and discouragement. But he had to focus. How did he overcome that? Focusing on God and his promises. And he constantly had to go to God. And then chapter 5 is dealing with social issues. Nehemiah was not just concerned about the wall, but the things that these people also were facing, like abuse and inequality, poverty. He dealt with those things in chapter 5. Chapter 6, he finished the wall in 52 days. Nobody thought that this would happen in 52 days, but Nehemiah was able to do it because God was with him and everybody worked together. And then chapter 8 and chapter 10, people returning to the Word of God. People returning to the Word of God. That's the foundation. And we discussed all those chapters during the last couple of months. And then the last chapter 13 was handling problems in boldness and in prayer. And so today, we're going to look at chapter 12 and celebrate. Again, to summarize Nehemiah's example for us. He's a model for us to be courageous, to be dependent on God in everything, to stay focused, to not give up, to not take advantage of his position, to be willing to get his hands dirty, knowing that one man can make a difference, and being absolutely obedient to the word of God, no matter what the cost. Nehemiah was a man of action. When God opened his eyes, Nehemiah prayed, he wept, he cried, and he said, "Here am I, Lord, send my grandmother." No, send me. Send me. He was willing to go. Through Nehemiah, God's name and honor would be restored. His name would be uplifted. His kingdom advanced. The church needs more Nehemiahs today. Do we have some Nehemiahs in here this morning? Today is a final message on Nehemiah in this series. I want to end on a positive note. We'll look at Nehemiah chapter 12, 27 to 47. I've entitled this message, "Smiling, Singing Saints, Want It." So for Nehemiah and for us, it's a time to celebrate. Chuck Swindoll, in his book on Nehemiah, says on this section, he says this: "If happiness were a disease, none other would be more contagious. If you laughed often, you'll be making life fun. And if you're never very far from a smile, you'll have no trouble encouraging people and making friends. People who really enjoy life are always, always in demand. I keep reading what Chuck Swindoll said. Teachers who are happy and carry out their teaching in a winsome way have no trouble getting students to line up for their courses. A genuinely happy salesperson usually wins the incentive awards. When a college president is happy, the public relations department have an easier job. When the owner and waitress of a restaurant are friendly and happy, the word spreads. Why? Because happiness is a rare commodity. In fact, it's almost extinct. If you question that, check out the drivers next time you're on the highway. Most of them look like they could eat corn out of a Coke bottle. So this is what Chuck Swindoll is saying. And you know, and the world knows how to celebrate. The Olympics, we just finished them. They know how to celebrate. And Christians should know how to celebrate. That's why I think even today we're celebrating with our annual meeting what God has done. We need to. I love celebrating. With international students, we want to just take every opportunity to celebrate. Birthdays, anniversaries, Chinese New Year, I had to celebrate 4 times. You know, it's a hard life that I have. And this week we were celebrating Jay's farewell. Last Sunday night, you know, I didn't expect Pastor Paul Troy and Molly here today at all. But they celebrated their retirement. Just a little bit party, 600 people. Wow. You know, I'm sorry, Paul, but I didn't expect you in the audience this morning, but it was in my message. And I had to go there because he was one of my students way back. And I'm still not retired. What is this? You know, me going to his celebration. Wow, it was wonderful to see how Christians celebrate it. But, you know, it's not the end, of course, for Pastor Paul and Molly. They just continue on in other ministries like missions, which is their heart. And so this week I had to celebrate farewell to 2 Koreans. I had to celebrate 47 years of marriage. I had to celebrate all these different things. Fortunately, my wife had a $100 gift certificate, so it didn't cost me very much, although it did cost me a trip to the United States, which was great. It's great. And yesterday, even at the park, I noticed the kids were so happy with seeing the border. But you know what was the happiest thing? They saw a couple flowers coming out of the grass. And they were taking pictures of those flowers. Spring is coming! Celebration. Isn't that wonderful when you go outside and see that? And so just the little things. And then I go down the street a couple of weeks ago when all that snow, and people don't like snow in Vancouver. They hate it. They don't drive their cars. They don't show up in church. But you know, when all that snow came in Coquitlam, the thing, I don't like it either. But you know, I'm from Alberta, so I'm used to shoveling snow. I still have that background experience. And so I realize most of these older people in our area don't even have shovels. They don't know how to shovel snow. They're going to fall they have stairs to go up. I said, you know, this is my chance to show love to my neighbors. And so I'm celebrating the snow and showing love to my neighbors. And 4 neighbors, one called me, one opened the door for fresh muffins. They were so excited to see someone on their doorstep shoveling snow. And then I go on the streets that afternoon with my wife because she's bored and wants to get out of the house. And then I just, on the road, I just say, hello to Happy New Year. Happy New Year to this Asian lady. She says, I'm not Chinese. I says, that doesn't matter. She said, I'm Korean. I said, well, Koreans, they celebrate New Year too. But it's past. I said, yeah, they celebrate for a couple of weeks. I just want to wish you Happy New Year. God bless you. Suddenly she just hugged me. A stranger hugging me on the street. And then she hugged me again after I talked to her and gave her my address and said that she could visit my house with her children. We just talked a little bit. And then she sent me a text message. My whole day was filled with complaints, with discouragement. Your happy, smiling face and saying Happy New Year made my day. Just like that. Just like that. What does it take? It takes a smile. And just say hello to people. So I believe we can lighten our load if we see things from God's perspective. No matter how bad things may seem, remember we're on the victorious side. We sang that. We're on the winning side. So let's look at Nehemiah's celebration. Number one, it involved preparation and purification. Chapter 12, 27 to 30. There was purification. They were purifying themselves before in verse 30. And they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. So why is there purification? and preparation. Can there be barriers to joy? Yes, it's called sin. Can sin be a hindrance to joy? Look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear sounds of joy and gladness. Let the bones you crushed be happy again. Give me back the joy of my salvation. The psalmist, though he loved Jesus and he was probably a follower of Jesus, he had gotten lost with sin. There was barriers in his life. He had lost the joy of his salvation. And so he asked God to wash him, that he would be whiter than snow. Yes, purity precedes praise. When we experience his cleansing, we can truly praise him and thank him. And so this is, so that definitely is important. And I like that prayer, that we just can think about how we, even this week, have failed God in some way, how we have sinned, how we have not done what he wanted us to do, that we need cleansing all the time. The second point of Nehemiah's celebration is involve the procession with two choirs giving thanks. You have to use your imagination. There's a lot of preparation involved. One choir is going in one direction on the wall. The other choir is going on the other wall, marching around the city, on the walls, and then coming together in the temple. And so there's two choirs going on, a big procession. When I was in India, the Christians always believed in processions. And one day we had a conference with 20,000 people. But you can't just sit there for the whole week with this conference. And the last day they have a procession that goes 4 or 5 kilometers through the city and back again. With choirs, with music, with clapping, with dancing, singing and shouting praises to God. 20,000 people. Can you imagine it? I was part of that. They love those processions. They demonstrate to the whole city God's joy and God's love. And so there was a procession with two choirs going on there in Nehemiah's celebration, celebrating the wall that was completed. The third thing that's going on is great sacrifices. They're offering sacrifices. And so sacrifices are symbolizing worship, thanksgiving, dedication, acknowledging the lordship of God. God had forgiven them. He had chosen them. He had restored them. He had given them a new sense of purpose and position of honor. He took away their shame. Their attitudes and position had changed since Nehemiah had come there 52 days earlier. Now they were excited to worship God. The wall had been built. And so what are the results? Verse 43. What are the results? This is from the Message. An exuberant celebration because God had filled them with great joy. The women and children raised their happy voices with all the rest. Jerusalem's jubilation was heard far and wide. That's what happens when we are in tune with God and we're following God. It's exciting. It is exciting. And so this is what's happening in Nehemiah's celebration. The second point I have this morning is principles to apply today. What are some principles for us? Atmosphere of joy should surround God's people. Let's look at a few verses. You will fill me with joy in your presence. You have made him glad with the joy of your presence. You have made me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy should be the main atmosphere of the Christian, of brothers and sisters in the church. The second point I have here is the joy is not dependent on outward circumstances, but inward focus. These people still had a lot of problems. They still were challenged with daily life. They probably still had their enemies around them that were trying to discourage them. So their problems were not gone. Yes, the wall was built, but that was only part of it. And I've had my circumstances and negative circumstances. I had a truck in India. I used to love driving trucks. I drove a truck in Alberta. I drove a truck to India, 10,000 kilometers. I love driving. If others were driving, I would always look for the chance when they got tired so I can drive. That was just, that's why I like to drive across Canada this summer. So, I love driving. But one day that old truck, that $100 truck, had had about 4 flat tires, including 2 blowouts. And by the time I recovered on that long trip from Nepal to India with those bad roads and the hot weather in India, I had no spare tire. I had 2, instead of dual wheels in the back, now I had only singles. And I had 1,000 kilometers to go. And I never wanted to see a truck again. This was the end of my love for trucks. I just hated that. Why don't this organization afford something decent and better tires? And then I just sat there and I sang a song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his grace." And I just had to turn my eyes off of that truck and turn it on Jesus. And Jesus got me there, the rest of the 1,000 kilometers. Joy, Habakkuk 3:17-18. Is that on the PowerPoint at all? The prophet, that's a beautiful verse. Habakkuk was going through, and the people were going through, maybe a really difficult time. Look at what he says. "Though the fig tree should not blossom, there shall be no fruit on the vines. Though the yield of the olive shall fail, and the fields produce no food. Though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there'll be no cattle in the stalls. Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." Like Job said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The joyful spirit, point 3, will have far-reaching effects. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. And finally, music and praise will turn mourning into joy. You look at Psalm 43. You look at Psalm 66. There are just a couple of songs where the psalmist is going through some real problems. Psalm 43, he says, "Well, I'm in the middle of an ungodly nation, deceitful and wicked man. Why have you rejected me?" he says to God. "Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?" And then he says, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him." What changes? Music. Singing. That's why I listen to tapes, music, and songs that lift my spirit as I'm driving around cranky drivers and, you know, people that cut me off or whatever that's happening on the highway. And I hate traffic jams. And so, you know, I have to go singing. Come and see what God has done. And that is what we're doing. Even as brothers and sisters, every week I see good things happening. I see a mission downtown Vancouver that is asking, spend 2 hours with Pastor Ruth and Pastor Sam and saying, "We want participation and partnership together with you guys to help us in the work to reach the people that they're seeing great things happen downtown Vancouver." And every week I see good things happen. And last week I got a phone call from Kelowna. Kelowna. They said, from our leader, it says, "Bert, there's a new guy that we have just been helping here, and he's now moving to Kamloops, to Vancouver, and he needs your help. He needs Christians. He wants to be involved with the church." I says, "Who is he?" He says, "Well, this guy is from Turkey, a Muslim background." Oh, they could be terrorists. Oh, they might come with, you know, we hear bad things from the Middle East all the time, don't we? Every day we open the paper or listen to the news. But, you know, that's man's focus. God has a bigger focus. He brings people here from these countries. And even more people are coming because of Trump. It's true. They don't want to go to America. They want to come to Canada. And so Maho is here today. Welcome, Maho. Come up here, share your little story, because I was so challenged. If you could just turn this mic on. So tell us where you're from and what you're doing in Canada.
Yeah, I am Maho from Turkey. I came to Canada 5 months ago for learning English. And I graduated my university last July. And my goal is master's degree. And yeah,
a PhD.
Yeah, master degree.
Oh, master degree. Oh,
and,
okay.
And then PhD.
Then PhD. Okay, good.
Yeah, I came to Canada 5 months ago, and after I had a dream, I saw Jesus in my dream. It is awesome because I didn't understand first time, and I asked my homestay father. He is strong Christian, and because Jesus said, "I am Yeshua." I don't know who is Yeshua, and my homestay father said, "Yeshua is Jesus." And I understood, I saw the Jesus in my dream.
And he said something to you?
It is great. I don't know, because he talked to me, but a different language. I never heard this language, but I understood everything. It is interesting. And, yeah.
Then what happened after that?
Yeah, and I researched what is Christian, what is Jesus, and I decided and I became Christian.
Mm-hmm. And what happened so far in Kelowna as you became a Christian?
Yeah, I joined the men's group, and I joined the Focus Club, and because I am like baby. And I learned many information about Christianity. And, yeah.
Now, your background is Muslim, right?
Yeah, my father and my mother are Muslim now.
So what's happening? They're coming here this summer.
Yeah, yes.
Are they going to kill you or what?
Yeah, my mother. No, I just joking. I will be Baptist.
Baptized?
Baptized. And my family will join in my baptized. Celebrate,
wow.
Yeah.
To celebrate.
Yeah.
Wow, that will be a great celebration.
Yes.
So your parents said that they would join you?
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. Guys, and now you're here in Vancouver.
Yes.
And now you want to go to church here and grow, keep growing.
Yeah.
So did Jesus say something about welcome?
Oh yeah, he said 3 times welcome.
He said that to you?
Yes.
In the language you heard him in the dream.
Yeah.
3 times.
3 times.
You are welcome.
Yes.
Let's say you are welcome 3 times. Let's say it. You are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome.
Thank you very much.
That's what Jesus said to him, so we should say that too. God bless you. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Well, the same day that he arrived, I was texting him. He lives in a house of 9 international students, right on 43rd and Rupert corner there. And he's got people from Saudi Arabia, from Korea, from Japan. Last night, he took one of his friends from Korea, from Japan, to a restaurant, to a Korean restaurant. There they are, from Turkey and Japan in a Korean restaurant. Multiculturalism, right? We are seeing this, we're experiencing this. What a joy to hear how God is moving. He's bringing people here so they can hear about Jesus, so they'll have actually even dreams about Jesus. And that is a stepping stone for them. He was in a very strong Christian homestay in that new, that was probably praying. So God's preparing people along the way. So in the end of my message today, one more thing on that point, I didn't put point E. If you look at the rest of that passage, you'll see that all Israel contributed daily portions to the Levites and to the temple. They were so excited with what God is doing. There was no lack of giving. They were supporting what God was doing in the church. Okay, in December 1914, a massive explosion erupted in New Jersey. 10 buildings belonging to Thomas Edison, the famous inventor, was engulfed in flames. Edison told his son, "Get your mother and all her friends. They'll never see a fire like this again." And his son objected. Edison said, "It's all right. We just got rid of a lot of rubbish." He was almost 70 years of age. Edison told reporters he would start over again tomorrow. Edison stuck to his word and immediately began rebuilding the next morning without laying off or firing any employees. That's Thomas Edison. Wow, what an example of joy in the midst of tragedy. My last point, 3, is some thoughts and celebration. Joy in the most trying of circumstances. Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the leading Christians during the time of World War II, was imprisoned by Hitler because he was willing to speak against Hitler's atrocities. He was executed just days before liberation. A fellow prisoner described Bonhoeffer during his last days as follows. Bonhoeffer was all humility and sweetness. He always seemed to me to diffuse an atmosphere of happiness, of joy in every smallest event in life, and of deep gratitude for the mere fact he was alive. He was one of the very few men that I've ever met to whom God was real and close. So it doesn't mean that you have to be in nice circumstances like beautiful sunshine in Vancouver that you can be joyful. You can be joyful in whatever place God has for you. The second point, celebration doesn't have to wait until sorrow is over. I think of Mrs. Chow, one of my dear ladies that I call my mother, from Kamloops that loved international students. My wife and I love this lady. She taught us more about joy than anyone we ever met. A medical doctor, she lost her right to practice medicine in the Cultural Revolution because she was a believer. Her husband told her he was a Christian, but he denied Christ. She fled communist China on her husband's insistence. Her two children did not follow Christ, yet she exuded great deep joy and faith. Her two grandsons, the youngest of whom was a believer, then tragedy struck. The boy was out helping his father and brother when a farm machine fell on him, killing him immediately. We were deep and saddened, as he was a delightful, lively little boy. The morning after the accident, my wife met Mrs. Chow at church and asked her how she was doing. Her reply was, "God only gives me the best. God only gives me the best." She knew God had allowed this accident for a reason, and therefore she could glorify God even though she dearly missed her grandson. The third point is celebration is a choice that usually requires an expenditure of energy. Wang Mengdao, the picture that's on the slide there, he suffered so many years in prison. He was separated from his wife, didn't even know if she was alive. Wang Mengdao, one of the great leaders of China. Somebody said, did God make him, when he got out finally, when he was in his 80s, he was half deaf, his wife was half blind. He was joking about his situation. He says, the deaf shall lead the blind. And somebody said, did God make a mistake? God make a mistake? It was a honeymoon with Jesus. And he sang a song, all the way my Savior led me, what have I to ask beside? Nothing but his love and tender mercy. And he just sang that song. And those songs encouraged him, and the presence of Jesus was with him. He grew so much. Our habits of busyness or efficiency or perhaps even our wealth or possessions may blind us to the delights that could change our perceptions and bring us gladness. This little book, when I first got it a couple of years ago, called 1,000 Gifts by Anne Voskamp. She tells her journey of finding grace and joy in each day, feeling overwhelmed with grief from two tragedies in her life, being a busy farmer's wife with six children. She shares how she was challenged to live life to the full and be thankful in all the gifts that God gave her. She began writing them down every day, a list of the gifts God gave her that day, till she reached 1,000 gifts. This book has sold more than 1 million copies. It has been translated in something like 20 languages. She was a main speaker at 10th Alliance a few months ago. Anne Voskamp, a simple farm lady. I saw this book again. When I first read it 2 years ago, I immediately bought 10 copies and gave all my friends and some of my supporters. Then I went to Chapters the other day and I found out they have this in more condensed book. And I found out that I got a good deal on it. So I brought a few more copies here. This book will encourage you so much with the life that she lives, Anne Voskamp. So let's just close our service with the last song this morning of Until Then, My Heart Will Go On Singing. That's the song that just blessed me when I heard about Billy Graham's death and I found it. My wife told me that this was the song they sang at his funeral. Until then, I can sing. My heart can sing when I pause to remember. A heartache here is but a stepping stone. Come on, Ernest. Along a trial that's winding always upward, this troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day that God calls me home. I want to have that joy today. I want to have that joy when I look at your faces, when I see your smiles, when I see you, like last Sunday when Jay spoke here and many people took him out for dinner and said goodbye to him. I see many of you that love Jesus and want to follow him, and I want to keep on singing. I want to keep on blessing people the rest of the days of my life. Let's sing that song together in closing. Thanks.